to the gospel and your sins be forgiven. Good morning, everyone. Today we have what is one of my favorite gospel passages, right? I mean, I get excited. Even just reading this gospel passage makes me excited. Nonetheless, having the opportunity now to preach about it. Because for me, a couple of weeks ago, you know, I talked about, you know, this year we read from St. Luke's gospel. And St. Luke, he's a literary genius. I mean, just the way in which he can tell stories. I mean, it grips me. It grips me every single time. And this is one of my favorites. Because I can put myself right in the midst of this story. I mean, it's so rich. Every single time I read it, there's still more and more to unpack, more beneath the surface. And what's great about the readings that we have for this week is that I think it gives us ample opportunity to reflect upon what I would say are the two greatest saints upon which the foundation of our church are built. And those saints are Saints Peter and Saint Paul. Saint Peter and Paul, who are the ones who are the unlikely candidates upon which Jesus decided to be his first apostles. He chose them so as to be the foundation upon which the very church that we still worship in today, he built it upon those two. And the reason why these two men stick out to me is because I feel like I have a lot in common with them. Not the whole saint part, but just about everything else. Right, there's something about these two men that, I mean, every single time when I think that Jesus chose these two, I can't help but be drawn into the mystery. I can't help but be drawn into the unlikelihood of these two characters. Because, again, when we think of St. Peter, we think about the rock. We think about the man who Jesus freely chose to give the keys to his church. We think about the man who selflessly, who courageously stood up to the Roman emperor. But in reality, before he was St. Paul, he was Simon. Right? This same man who Jesus chose to build his church upon, he was impulsive. He stuck his foot in his mouth every single chance that he got. In fact, Jesus had to tell him, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." As he was a cause of temptation, as he was one who was trying to stop Jesus from making his way to the cross. And then finally, when you think, you know what, this man, this is after Jesus pronounces him to be the rock, he's the one who's there by Jesus in his moment of trial. And Jesus is asked, or St. Peter's asked three times, "Do you know this man?" You go, "Whoa, no idea who he is. Some rock, right?" But Jesus chose this man. St. Paul, who we hear in the second reading. St. Paul, who talks about being the least of the apostles, because he was the one who was responsible for the early persecutions of the church. In fact, we hear at the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the first martyr, the first one to lay down their life as a witness to the gospel, as a witness to Jesus Christ crucified. We hear that the people responsible for that laid their tunics before St. Paul. But he wasn't St. Paul. At that time, he was Saul. Right? He was the religious zealot. He was the one who, at any sort of turmoil that might push against the Jewish faith, he was there to root that out. And yet Jesus chose him. He chose him to go out and to spread the gospel to the entirety of the Gentile people, to the rest of the known world. That's who Jesus chose. A religious zealot and an impulsive coward, let's say. But these are the two people that Jesus chose to build his church upon. And for me, every single time I see this, I can't help but realize that God, he has to have a sense of humor. Because if you think about it, all right, if if Jesus were accepting resumes for people to build his church upon, a church that we know would have 1.5 billion members 2,000 years later, if Saul and Simon were to put their applications, for all of us would just purely humanize, we'd put those resumes right on the bottom. They have none of the credentials. Yet Jesus chose them. And you see, the reason why I focus on these two men, especially in the context of today's gospel, is because I think this shows us the mystery upon which Jesus works. The mystery upon which Jesus continues to work in our lives today. Because as we hear in this gospel, one of the first things that happens is that Jesus, he just gets on Peter's boat. He doesn't ask, he just hops in. And not only does he just get in there, but then he starts giving orders. You know, Peter, who's the captain of the ship, can you imagine someone coming in? It'd be like someone coming into our homes and saying, all right, now you got to do all these things. I can just imagine Peter, like, who do you think you are? But at the same time, we hear Peter listens to him. So there was something about Jesus. There was something that spoke to his heart that said, I need to listen to this guy. And from that moment, nothing was ever the same. The same thing happening with St. Paul. St. Paul, on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden, Jesus appears in this great vision, literally knocks him on his rear. And from that moment, everything changes. St. Paul now dedicates everything that he has, the entirety of his life now, to being this apostle, to being this one who is now sent by Jesus. So even him, in encountering the resurrected Lord, he knew that there was something different about this guy. There was something that spoke to the heart. Right, and just as he gets on to the boat of Peter, he tells him to set off a little bit from the shore. But as we know, when Jesus gets into the boat, when Jesus gets into the boat of our lives, at first he tells us to set off a little bit. But that's never enough. Then he tells us to set out into the deep. And you see, for us now too, we miss some of this because to the ancient people, the idea of water, that represented chaos. I mean, just think about the flood that came to Noah. Water has, it still does, it still has great capacity for turmoil, for damage. And I was on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, it's not a pond. It's a pretty good big space. And we hear this too in other gospel stories, that when the storms come in, it was a pretty scary place to be. So what Jesus is telling Peter is he says, listen, I want you to go off from the comfort of the shores, and I want you to set out into that deep water. The same thing that he said to St. Paul when he said, you, the religious zealot, the one who is the least of the apostles, it's you who I am going to now send out into the deep of the heart of the Roman Empire. I'm going to have you, the Jewish zealot, the one who fought for everything that the Jewish people wanted. You're the one who I choose now to be sent out to convert the entirety of the Gentile people. That is the deep water that I'm sending you out into. Because you see what Jesus is doing, is that as soon as Jesus gets into the boat of the lives of these two men, he calls them to adventure. He tells them to set out into deep waters, to set out into the realm of the unknown. And he tells them that, listen, your life, your lives will never be the same again. And this is the thing, that for us, the idea of adventure is something that speaks to each and every single one of us. We want to live that life of adventure. In fact, that's the reason why we even have a Hollywood, is to tell us those stories. It's those stories that when we watch a movie, we find ourselves literally in these stories because we want to live that exciting life. We want to live that life of turmoil. There's something about adversity and overcoming that speaks to the human heart. Yet at the same time, C.S. Lewis, he has a great line that I come back to time and time again. He says that while all adventures are something that speak to the human heart, no adventure is fun when you're going through it. It's only until you get back and you look at it from the other side that you realize that that turmoil, that tribulation, that that formed who you were. It's only then that you can say that that adventure was something that was truly exciting, that was truly forming. And the same that can be said for St. Peter and St. Paul. They were called out into this area that they weren't comfortable with. Yet at the same time, it was that call to adventure. You see, this idea of setting out into the deep. The reason why this is something that I come back to time and time again is because that is the call of Jesus Christ to every single person. As soon as he gets into the boat of our lives, first he tells us to set off a little from the shore. There's a little bit of uncomfort. But then it's very quickly that he sets us out into the deep, the realm of the unknown. He sets us out into the realm of adventure. You see, it's by means of our very baptism that Jesus, that he gets into the boat of our lives. And it's by the means of our confirmation in which he tells us to go out, to go be missionaries, to go out and to live this life of adventure. And that's why when you read the lives of the saints, what you see is this same adventure lived out in completely different ways. You see lives that were anything but boring because they were living the gospel. They set out into the deep. And what's so amazing is at the end of this gospel story, what we hear is this miraculous catch of fish. And what's so great, and this is something that we'll miss in the English, but in the original Greek, what he says, now you'll be fishers of men. And what he says too is the verb that's used for fishing too is, you will catch fish that are alive. Because just like any great adventure, there's high stakes. For us, it's the difference between life and death. The idea being that in sharing the gospel, yes, we open up now this realm of eternal life, but also at the same time, we open up life here. We open up life on earth. Right? It's the saints, they're the ones who are most authentically alive because they receive the gospel, because they live that life of adventure. And so that's what we are called to do. We're called to set out into the deep so as to become those fishers of men, so as to catch fish that are alive. You see, what's amazing to me, that why I come back to why St. Peter and St. Paul, why they talk to me, is because they're two of the biggest misfits that you'd ever see. And yet they were chosen. I mean, really, every single Sunday, every single day when I find myself wearing this, I can't believe that God would choose a misfit as big as me to come here and to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. I can't believe that I was chosen. And that's something that I will continue to ponder for the rest of my life. But the reality is that God, he can do amazing things through each and every single one of us. And he sends us all out into the deep, to this life of adventure, so as to carry on his work even 2,000 years later. So this week, may we look to this example of the great saints Peter and Paul. May we strive to live that life of adventure that every single Christian is called to. May we pray how we are called to live that life of adventure. And when we hear that, may we hear those words of Jesus and may we live them. May we too go and set out into the deep so as to become